Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks for tuning in again tonight. This show is for all you songwriters and musicians and performers out there who just want to figure stuff out here in Music City.
That's right. Now, remember, we don't know anything.
No.
We're out there slinging songs during the day just like you guys are. 9 years later, we really are idiots, but we are able to bring brilliant, talented people in and pick their brains and give you the opportunity to throw a question or two in as well.
Yeah, and you can do that by going to facebook.com/themusicrowshow. You can like us and chime in with your comments and questions right there. You can also hit us up on Twitter at The Music Row Show.
Yeah, hey, we got a big, big show for you tonight.
Yeah, we do.
We have, for starters, this hour, hit songwriter, hit recording artist, the great Radney Foster is visiting with us in hour one.
Yep. And then one of Nashville's favorite vocalists, member of Fleetwood Mac, Becca Bramlett, is going to be joining us live in hour two.
That's right. So, okay, let's get busy here. Go ahead and tell our listeners about this gentleman with us.
I'd be happy to. Several years ago, I was given a CD that I ended up listening to over and over and over and over and over. I told all my friends about it. I encouraged people to go out and buy it.
You did. Even, you actually called me.
Yeah.
And your friends.
And your friends.
You called me, too. And true. You said, Scott, you've got to listen to this.
That's true. I even told one guy that this was the CD, that if I could make a CD, this was it. You know, this would be it. And that CD was called Revival, and that's by our guest here tonight, Radney Foster. That's what it looks
Thank
like.
Thank you so
way.
Much. That's awesome.
He's a hit songwriter, recording artist, and mm-hmm. producer. Mm-hmm. He's had hits on artists like Keith Urban with Raining on Sunday, Sweethearts of the Rodeo, Since I Found You, and a great song for Sarah Evans called A Real Fine Place to Start. Now, as an artist, he's also had a bunch of hits.
Yep.
Songs like Nobody Wins and Just Call Me Lonesome, and with his duet Foster and Loy that he had at the beginning, Sure Thing and Crazy Over You, Crazy Over You. And his latest album is called Everything I Should Have Said. And you know what? Like Revival, I encourage everybody to go out and get it. It's great.
Oh, wow.
It's really, really good.
Thank you very much, man.
So I'm just thrilled to finally be able to say, Radney Foster, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thank you very much. Thank you. My pleasure.
That's all we have, really.
Yeah,
that's it. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
all
we
right,
don't really
yeah.
have any questions or anything. So,
anybody want to call up and ask something? Because I can, you know. I've been doing this 30 years, so it's like.
I love those interviews, and then they go, so tell us about what you've been up to. I want to talk about how do you think growing up on that Texas-Mexico border area, how do you think that shaped you creatively? What are some of your earliest memories? Were you a Wolfman Jack fan?
I'm a little young for the Wolfman. He was only there from 59 to 62.
Okay.
And I would have been 1, 2, and 3 years old.
Gotcha. So, gotcha.
But in the 70s, there was a guy named Paul Callinger. And then also they would send tapes down from a guy who was at WBAP in Dallas,
mm-hmm.
and they had a renegade trucker show sort of vibe to everything. And they did, and that the way they defined country music in, you know, the 1970s was very different than the way Nashville was. If they wanted, if they thought it would keep a trucker awake and it was cool, they were going to play it. So
they weren't so constrained.
Right. So yeah. You would hear Dave Dudley's 6 Days on the Road, but then you'd hear Asleep at the Wheel, which was Western swing music,
right,
you
right.
know, and really old school, but made by hippies. Then you'd hear, you know, Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen, Hot Rod Lincoln. And then you would hear, you know, one of the trucker songs that was, you know, with a guy with a big deep voice and the ring
break,
and the thing
break,
and the
9-10-4.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You know, that stuff. And
Convoy.
Then, boy, yeah, exactly. Man. And then you would hear, you know, Creedence Clearwater Revival, you know, I mean, so it was like, and then the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. So it was really broad. And since they were in Texas, you know, there was a lot of, you know, there was Austin based stuff in there
right.
too, Jerry Jeff Walker and that kind of thing. So
Sweet.
That very much affected me musically. I have stories about that. You know, they, what people don't realize is that they were, you know, we're on 50,000 watts of clear channel power right here at WSM, right? You know,
right.
But what they did was they strung five 50,000 watt, you know, transmitters together to get a quarter of a million watts.
Holy
and
cow.
Out in the desert, it was hot, but they would, they had a water cooling system that would, you know, really? Keep them from overheating. Yeah. And a 110 foot stick. And in the wintertime, if you know anything about ranching or fences or farms, there's this thing about where you have two fence posts that are only about 6 feet apart.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And then you see like an X and they have a wire and they'll have a stick in the middle of it. And you twist it to stretch the gaps out of the fence, you know, to keep the fence tight.
Tight, right.
And so you'd have four lines of barbed wire going one way and then an big X of heavy right. gauge wire in between. Well, what is that? That's an antenna. And if they
really?
Were facing the right direction and it was a cold, clear night, you could put your head to the fence post and you could hear.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. You know, how much of those microwaves were rolling through my brain as a child? That may be really what affected me. That may be why I'm here today. I was just dumb enough to, you know, all of that brain matter got fried as a child.
And where's Radney? It's dinner time.
He's out
there sticking his hair on the fence post again. Been there for 3 hours.
But anyway, there was that. And then I think the other part was, as Guy Clark put it about growing up in Marathon, which was just north of us, there wasn't anything to do.
Right.
You know, and you kind of had to learn how to make your own fun. And my dad played guitar. And on many, many, many Saturday nights. As a matter of fact, I wrote a song about it that's going to be on my next record. And many Saturday nights, you know, they could play 5 or 10 chords. And if they could figure a song out and they liked it, they would learn to play it. And, you know, somebody brought the barbecue, somebody brought the potato salad, somebody brought the beer, and everybody brought an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And they would rock all night long on our back porch. And it didn't matter if it was, you know, Elvis, Frank Sinatra, Muddy Waters, Hank Sr., Patsy Cline, you know, Conway Twitty, whatever it was, if they thought it was cool.
They were playing.
They were going to play it. And
nice.
So that was a huge, you know, so I'd hear St. Louis Blues.
Yeah.
You know, and then I would hear I'm the Happiest Girl in the Whole USA. And then I would hear, you know, that was on the radio at the time.
Right.
You know, and it was just like that, you know, so it country songs, obviously, because they're easy to play. And but they also, we lived in West Texas, we were country music fans.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
And so that was a huge part of my musical education, I think. And
wow.
And so I think those two things, you know, and then really sort of the renegade storytelling side of things. My senior year in high school, I heard Rodney Crowell's first record being played on the radio.
Oh, okay.
And they were playing new by this brand new guy, Rodney Crowell, who, you know, and it was Stars on the Water.
Yeah.
Okay.
And which later became a hit for George Strait, like 30 years later. You know, it's like, oh, it only took it 30. Proof that a copyright is a copyright. It only took it 30 years to become a hit
Jimmy
song.
Jimmy Buffett,
you know?
Cut it too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, when I walked in, I think I was one of the, Rodney told me later, he said 17,000 people bought that record. That's all it sold. I said, well, I was one of them. I bought the only copy in the only record store in Del Rio, Texas.
There you go.
That is awesome. You know. So where along the way did you figure out that you had a knack for putting words to music and writing songs?
I was up in school up at Swanee, University of the South, up on Monegal Mountain.
That is a gorgeous college.
Yeah, it is.
My gosh.
It's constantly listed in one of the 10 most beautiful colleges on the planet, you know, and it has 13,000 acres of what looks like, you know.
Looks like Harvard or something.
Yeah, it looks like Harvard. It looks like Hogwarts.
Really.
Yeah.
Right down there. That's actually more accurate.
You know, but,
right.
But it has 13,000 acres on top of a mountain in addition to that. So it's like going to school in a national park. And so I was in school up there, and I just wrote songs because my heroes did, and I did it for fun. And I was playing in a band, and this guy heard us play, and he came up and he said, okay, so I know all of these other songs, but tell me about that song and that. Where do I get those three songs?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And my band started laughing. They said, you can't get them. You know, because he wrote them. And he said, man, I don't know anything about the music business, but I've got an old roommate from college who is a songwriter and a record producer. And, you know, give me your name and number. Well, my name, you know, I gave my name and I wrote it on a matchbook, you know, and my number, which was the payphone at the end of the hall in the dorm. Okay. If anyone's worried about communication today that, you know, oh my God, they can't get me on my, you know, I don't have my cell. It's like, look, it was the payphone at the end of the hall. And sure enough, you know, 2 weeks later, I get this note on my door and it says, call Brown Bannister. And it has a Nashville number, 615 area code. And Brown Bannister, as you already know, is an amazing singer and songwriter who really has worked tremendously within the gospel industry.
Yeah, a lot with Amy Grant.
Yeah, and well, he was producing this new ingenue at the time named Amy Grant, you know. And so I was like, that's a real guy, you know. And
that's a real guy.
It's like a real guy, you know. He had just won a Grammy for B.J. Thomas, for engineering B.J. Thomas's comeback record.
Right.
You know? So I was like, no, that's a real guy. He won a Grammy. That's a, you know. And he came up to hear me play at, he was going to speak at Swanee, I think, at, I can't remember if it was Fellowship of Christian Athletes or something. It's like, he was going to speak up there at campus. And he came early and he, you know, met me in the quad, went with me to my dorm. You know, I cleaned my dorm up really good.
Nice.
And,
yes. Yeah, socks under the
bed. Yeah,
under
I got everything, you know, it's like, and I played him 4 or 5 songs and he said, you need to seriously think about calling your mom and dad and think about doing this for a living. And I was like, really? He goes, yeah. I said, are these songs hits? And he goes, no. He said, but there are better songs than I wrote when I was 20.
Right.
And he said, they're really good songs. And he said, you can figure out, you'll figure it out. And
now, what year in college were you in?
I was a junior. And so I took a year off between my junior. I convinced my parents. I woke my parents up in the middle of the night. Okay, this is another. All right. I woke my mother and dad up in the middle of the night, and it was and I told them that I thought that God wanted me to drop out of college so I could be a singer and a songwriter. Okay. My dad, you know, I don't really think I had my dad's full attention until that moment, you know, in all of my life, you know. And see, he sat Paul Trump out in bed and he said, I'll never forget it again. Son, I've known God a long, long time. And I don't believe he wants any son of mine to drop out of college to be a singer and a songwriter, you know. But he's like, if you can convince the dean to let you take a year off, they have this thing called a sabbatical. Mm-hmm. You can take a year off of school, but you're on your own for that year, sink or swim up there in Nashville. And so I convinced he didn't think I could convince the dean. Mm-hmm. And I did. So I spent a year. And of course, I thought I was going to be the next Elvis by the time I was 21.
Of course.
And it, you know, I had my hat handed to me big time. And I was like, oh, my God, I got to really, really, you know, get busy and get better.
When you say you got your hat handed to you, what?
Well, what I mean, I got thrown out of every office. I got thrown out of every single office I went into except one. You know, and some of those were with recommendations. It's like, go back to college, kid. You don't have it.
Wow.
Ouch.
You know. What about Brown Bannister? Did
Brown opened some of the doors.
Okay.
You know, I mean, he sent me to, you know, I slept on his couch for about 3 weeks till I found a place to live.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, he was very helpful, and he opened a lot of those doors, and then there were other people who opened doors as well. And some people, but there finally there was a guy named Pat Higdon, who's a legendary publisher in this town. And he was this young buck at MCA Music, and he said, you know, keep bringing me songs. What are you going to do? And I said, I'm going back to school. Got to finish my last year. And kind of told him the deal with my folks. I had, if nothing happened after a year, I'd, you know, go back and finish college. And so I'd drive up. I'd call him on a, you know, Wednesday and say, you got time this Friday afternoon? And I'd drive up Friday after class and, you know, I'd play him a new song.
This is when you went back?
Yeah, after I went back to college my whole senior year. So, you know, I'd maybe every 2 or 3 weeks, I'd call him every week, and he goes, no, man, I don't have time this week.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, every 2 or 3 weeks, yeah, he'd say, yeah, man, come on.
That's, what, about an hour and a half drive or so?
Yeah,
well, now, was it, were the interstates
on?
Oh,
yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, I'm old, but not
with the wagon trains.
No,
with
no, wagon. Yeah. I don't know how old these roads are here. Okay, listen, we need to take a break. We're going to come back and see how Radney's grades were that senior year. Listening to the
pretty
music.
Good, actually.
This segment's brought to you by our friends at Toyota of Cool Springs. You've heard us talk about this. Heino and I are both Toyota drivers. I was just there yesterday.
Wow.
Getting my car worked on. And I love this dealership. I love their service department, everything about them.
Yeah, they're great. They go out of their way to give you an excellent experience no matter what you're doing there, whether you're buying a car, get one serviced. Very low-key, very laid-back, which is what we love about them. Go see George. He's the owner. He'll take great care of you. You can find him on the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with a lot more of Radney Foster here on the Music Row Show. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. In case you haven't figured it out, that's Radney Foster doing Just Call Me Lonesome, which was a nice hit for him.
1991.
I'm just curious, what's it like 92. To have a hit like that and then have so many people think it's Dwight Yoakam?
I mean, that must have been frustrating. It was big time. I would have people come up and go, play that Dwight Yoakam song. It wasn't Dwight's song, you know. And solely because, I mean, he was just... It was the style, I guess. California show.
That Bakersfield.
Bakersfield feel to it. You know, Nobody Wins set it apart after that.
Okay, right?
And then once people started to connect the dots, it all kind of...
But that must have really got under your skin there
it
for
did.
A little while.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can only imagine.
Oh, yeah. It did. You know.
Well, I want to back up. Actually, never mind. Let's talk about... I was going to keep going about him first coming to town, but we've spent some time on that. How about your first gig with Foster and Lloyd, if I understand this correctly, was opening up for Roy Orbison?
It was indeed.
Wow.
My career could have ended right there, and I would have been like, done.
Yeah, I know.
What do you remember about that gig, and did you actually get to spend any time
with
him?
Oh, yeah, we did. Absolutely. He was really, really nice. And we did 10 cities with Roy, and then we did another little spurt with him later on again. On the West Coast, and he was really, really great. His drummer, after he passed away, ended up becoming Foster and Lloyd's drummer, and then became my drummer for many, many years, Bob Mummert, who was a really, really great guy, great drummer. We met him out on the road with Roy. The funny thing was that, you know, it was different for us to be an opening act, because by the time we were going out, we had a hit on the radio, and then we'd written a hit for the Sweethearts of the Rodeo, so we could play that, you know.
Sure.
And then we'd play two new songs off the record, you know, and then we'd play a cover that everybody would know, and then we'd play Crazy Over You again. You know, so I mean, right. It was kind of cool. It's like, oh, y'all want to hear a hit record again? They all go nuts. You know? We play it again. Roy loved it, and he was really, really great to us. We took all kinds of memorabilia, and he was really...
His glasses.
I know. No, I mean, we had records to autograph and stuff. If I'd have known, in my studio is a picture of me and Bill and Chris Isaac and Roy.
Oh, wow.
You know, because Chris was just hanging out because he was such a fan.
Yeah.
At a show in California that we were opening for him. And this was before, you know, Wicked Game had, you know, he was just like a regional kind of cool guy, you know. And Roy was really funny. He said, I love the fact that you guys have such a Beatles influence, yet you have the Bakersfield thing and the Memphis like we did. I mean, you know, he really had done his homework, and he listened to the whole record. I mean, he was really a fan. And he said, now, you know, don't do me like those boys from Liverpool. I don't want to have to be opening for you guys before this is over with, you know.
really great.
That's awesome. Great.
Well, we'd love to hear a song.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Let me do that. I can play one.
Sweet. That'd be great.
Have you got anything?
Anything you feel?
You
like.
Know what? I talked about the
new one.
Yeah, I'm gonna play a brand new song.
Oh, beautiful. Sweet.
That's what I was gonna ask for.
World premiere.
And I wrote this with my buddy Jay Clementi, and because he was raised pretty much the same way. And this is really about, you know, I talked about everybody playing, you know, playing music around the back porch.
Right.
And that's what this song is about. And it really was my musical education. And it's called The Greatest Show on Earth. Potluck supper and barbecue, a cooler full of beer, one for sodas too. Us kids chasing fireflies with no shoes. Saturday sundown, mama will holler and y'all wash up. Clean that plate with your cornbread crust. Don't drink from daddy's Dixie cup. All the guitars are coming out. The cedar planks rattle and moan. Rock. Roll to a country song on a couple of sunburst laptops and a hand-me-down mandolin. Sometimes they had the chords that wrong. We laughed and cried, sang along. Family, friends, harmony, and goosebumps on my skin. You can't put a price on what those nights were worth. Was the greatest show on earth. Some sang low, some high and lonesome. Will that circle be unbroken? Grab a part if you know one, or clap along instead. Son, if you want to touch a guitar, ask. Sisters sleeping in 8K's lap, and I'd shake it like Elvis just to make them laugh. Before I went to bed, when those cedar planks rattled and moaned, rocked and rolled to a country song on a couple sunburst flat tops and a hand-me-down mandolin. Sometimes they had the chords half wrong. We laughed and cried, sang along. Family, friends, harmony, and goosebumps on my skin. You can't put a price on what those nights were worth. It was the greatest, greatest show on earth. Take a little break, talk a little fishing, let the crickets sing the intermission. I'd drift off to dreamland and they'd fire it up again. Those cedar planks rattle and moan, rock and roll to a country song on a couple of sunburst flat tops and a hand-me-down mandolin. Sometimes they had the chords that wrong. We laughed and cried, hang along, family, friends, harmony, and goosebumps on our skin. You can't put a price on what those nights were worth. Was the greatest, greatest show on earth. It was the greatest, greatest show on earth. Sure was.
Love that.
Thank you very much.
Love that.
Okay, so your latest project was mostly recorded in a Louisiana brothel.
Yes, all of
Sweet.
It, actually.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Okay. And I love recording in Nashville. The amazing musicians that are available to us, we're so fortunate here. Right. But what did changing up the vibe and geography and...
Well, it actually was no longer a brothel.
A former,
well, I knew
former
that.
Brothel.
I know that.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah.
But it was really cool. It's a residency studio down there called Dockside Studios.
Mm-hmm.
And a dear friend of mine now runs it as the head engineer down there, Justin Tockett. He was my bass player for many, many years.
Okay.
And but he also, I met him because I made a record years ago called See What You Want to See, and he was the intern at Woodland Studios.
Wow.
And that's how he became my bass player.
Okay.
And they're like, hey, that kid back there, really, he's a pretty good bass player, you know. And so,
bass players are like gold in this town.
Oh, yeah, big time. They're hard. Yeah, yeah, big time. And so, I had actually made a Randy Rogers record as a producer down there before. And he said, man, I told him I was trying to do something different. And he said, you need to figure out how to come down here and just, you know, record and everything stops. And we kind of did. And I said, okay, that's, you know, and I asked him to co-produce the record with me, and it came out great. But it had a completely different vibe because the other guitar player, was from down there, a guy named Joe Stark, who's a really, really great, he and his brother have a band on Republic Records called Baby Bees.
Okay.
And but he kind of comes from the rock and the Cajun world, you know. And then the drummer, Keith Brogdon, who's a great, great drummer, and he's from, cut his teeth playing in Bear Jr., which is sort of, you know, redneck rock and roll kind of stuff. And the keyboard player was John Lancaster, who plays with Gary Allen and is a phenomenal player. And we all just went down there. It was like going to band camp, you know.
Really?
We ate catered Cajun food that was unbelievable. And I don't hardly remember leaving the property.
Really?
No. We filmed a couple of videos down there while we liked it so much. I took my family down there over Christmas break, in between Christmas and New Year's, and that's when we mixed the record.
Okay.
So it was really cool. Just to everything stops down there, and it's the Grammy wall, you know, of who's made a Grammy winning record in that studio is kind of impressive. I mean, it's intimidating, from B.B. King to Irma Thomas to Dr. John to Beau Soleil to Eric Clapton. I mean, it's just a couple of names, you know.
Wow.
It's a really, really cool place. I would encourage any musician who is like, I want to, you know, I need seclusion. You know,
right.
It's the alternative to going to Woodstock, you know, up to upstate New York or something like that. It was really, really great.
Huh. Well, one song that I love on the new album, Mine Until Morning.
Oh, yeah.
Great song with a great guest vocal by Patty Griffin.
Who, you know, could sing the phone book.
Oh, my gosh. Would love to have her on the show someday if you happen to be listening.
Patty.
Give us the story of that song and then how you got Patty involved.
Well, it was pretty easy. Darden Smith, who's a songwriter from Texas and a great one, I had a day off in Austin. And he said, hey, man, why don't you come eat lunch with me? And let's see if we can't get a song started for a couple of hours. And, you know, and then he had something else he had to go do. And I was going to go to, I think I went to dinner with another friend. And in 45 minutes, he just spat out the title. He said, I had this, you know, idea. And I said, what's that? He goes, will you be mine until the morning? And I said, could I be yours till the break of day? We were all, it's like, boom. And I mean, it took like 45 minutes, but it was a beautiful melody. And he kind of had rolling around in his head. And it's one of those ones that's just real special where, you know, I've slaved over songs for years, you know, literally for years. And, you know, you never have any idea how they're going to come like that. And then, of course, Colin, Patty, I knew it was a duet, you know, and I had always wanted to work with her, and her road manager. We share a road manager in common.
Okay, well that helps, right?
Yeah, he is really her guy, main guy. But when she's off the road, he's been known to moonlight with me for you know, a month or so.
Mm-hmm.
He'll call me up and say, "I ain't got anything going on in March, man. You know, so, what's
come
up?
On,
come on, come on, man, come on, let's go." You know, and So that was pretty easy to get a hold of her, and she's a fan, and I'm, of course, I'm a fan. It's a mutual admiration society. But one time, I got this call, and he said, yeah, Patty wants to bring her boyfriend and, to a show. And I said, okay. And I put, you know, her name, I said, give her my cell. And so I thought, you know, she'd call, or there'd be, you know, people and handlers and all that kind of stuff. Man, I was playing on a stage in, you know, in Texas. And then just Patty Griffin just goes two-stepping right by. Right in front of me. It's like, oh, Patty, hey, how are you? Hey, sweetie, how are you? Kind of the end of it, you know. She you know, she goes very unassuming. And
that was the first time you'd actually met her?
No. But you know, but it was very funny that she just didn't need a handler, didn't need a thing.
Yeah,
just kind of shows up, does her thing. And she, we cut that vocal in her, she has a little upstairs living room. No, it was in Roy's living room. Yeah. She just came over to Roy's house.
I'll be there.
Cut in his living room. It was great. It took all of 30 minutes to have her cut a vocal. I mean,
my goodness.
She sang. It was, the cool part was that she worked out all the parts and did all that. And then she just like sang stuff that didn't have anything to do with all the right parts. And then we cut it all together and it came out like magic.
Wow.
Nice.
Well, let's take a break. The segment's brought to you by Dogwood Cabin Rental. We love going to Gatlinburg, taking our families there, the music, the moonshine, the people watching.
The moonshine.
But let me tell you about Townsend, Tennessee. It's the peaceful side of the Smokies. You want to get away from the rush, the tourists, and just enjoy a couple of good restaurants and the beauty of the Smokies. Go to dogwoodcabins.com. Book your cabin. Beautiful cabins, amazing views, and again, no crowds. Dogwoodcabins.com. That's dogwoodcabins.com.
We'll be back with a... Hold up.
Look at that boy in the river, soaking wet with faith. Look at that girl on the courthouse steps, saying things gotta change. There's that woman on the corner, handing out coffee in the word. She's listening to the working girls, the ones that never get hurt. Every time I think I'm nothing but luck. God always sends someone down just to stir things up.
Oh yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's a little revival. Radney Foster off of his album Revival. Yeah. Looks like that. There you go.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. And but we kind of twisted his arm here during the break, asked him to do another song.
Yeah,
but
we said, will you please do another song?
And then he said, okay.
Yeah.
It was a real battle.
Actually, the other is that, you know, Friday night I'm playing the City Winery. So
that's
a
right.
Big deal. Yeah, that's coming up.
Coming up.
Tell us about that.
It's going to start off with me and my acoustic guitar and go all the way to the full band. So
ooh. Any surprises?
I got to keep them a surprise.
Okay. You know? All right. Yeah.
So, but they should come out because they'll definitely hear me play this song. But I got to get this capo on a slightly bit tighter for that because it's got a better.
There we go.
This was a hit for me in Texas and nowhere else. Until this skinny kid from Australia got a hold of it.
Politics just like a Timex, never lets up on you. You said life was easy, the job is never through. It'll run us till we're ragged, it'll harden our hearts. Love could use a day of rest before we both start falling apart. Pray that it's raining on Sunday, storming like crazy. We'll hide under the covers all afternoon. Maybe whatever comes Monday can take care of itself, 'cause we've got better things that we can do when it's raining on Sunday. Your love is like religion across in Mexico. Your kiss is like the incense of a prayer nailed to the door. I surrender is much sweeter when we both let go. Let the water wash our bodies clean and love wash our souls. Whenever it's raining on Sunday, storming like crazy, we'll guide under the covers all afternoon. Baby, whatever comes Monday, take care of itself, 'cause we've got better things that we can do when it's raining on Sunday. Yeah. Rather it's raining on Sunday, storming like crazy, we'll hide under the covers all afternoon. Baby, whatever comes Monday, take care of itself, 'cause we've got better things that we can do when it's raining on Sunday. When it's raining on Sunday. When it's raining on Sunday. Yeah.
Fantastic. RadneyFoster.com. You can go there and actually RSVP and get your tickets to his show here in Nashville this coming Friday, March 25th. Sweet. At the City Winery. We got to take a quick break. We're going to be back with one more segment with Radney Foster. Stick around on the Music Row Show.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are here with Radney Foster. That's a tune off of his last album. That's a song called Hard Light of Day.
Yeah. And another one I wrote with Jake Clementi.
Who all
wrote,
right.
Yeah. Well, we were talking songwriting earlier. Last year you did a songwriting revival, which was a kind of a workshop.
Yeah, it's a workshop.
And we were just saying that you're doing it again coming up.
In September.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have the exact date yet. We're still waffling between two different weekends.
Okay.
And trying to circle the wagons around which one would be best.
I'm guessing RadneyFoster.com would be the place to find out.
That would be the quickest place to find out. And
You're getting your tickets for the City Winery gig, you can just
and
bookmark.
And buying his latest album.
Right.
You can bookmark the site.
Yeah,
there you go.
And there. I would bet that we would have an announcement somewhere in the next 2 or 3 weeks as to when.
So as far as writing's concerned, what can one teach songwriting-wise, craft-wise, and what can't be taught in your mind?
Well, I think anyone can learn to write a song.
Yeah.
You know, as to whether you're tortured by it, you know, and you don't have to, you know, I mean, I'll tell you the advice that Willie Nelson gave me. I was driving a van for a movie company early in my career, and that's how I met Willie. He had a cameo in the movie, and they told me that I would, you know, get fired if I talked to the talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I thought, it's freaking Willie Nelson. What are they going to do, fire me?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm getting paid minimum wage here anyway, right?
Right.
And you know, I'm driving a van, for God's sake. You know? And so I told him that we had a mutual friend in Texas, in Ray Benson,
uh-huh.
Who had dated a friend of mine, and that's how I met Ray. And And so, you know, I said, he said, what are you doing up here? Are you at Vanderbilt or something, you know? And I said, no, I'm trying to figure out how to be a songwriter and a singer. He goes, oh, God, one of those. And he said, I said, do you have any advice? And he said, yeah. He said, the first 100 songs don't count. Keep writing.
Yeah.
And I think that's about that work ethic. And I really do think that, you know, I still shoot for writing a song a week.
Really?
You know, I try to write at least 50 a year and do. You know, for the most part, a ton of them don't get heard, you know.
What would you say the ratio is?
Well, I make a record every 2 years, so
11 songs, 12 songs.
11, 12 songs out of about 125, okay. 130 songs.
10, 12%, something like that.
Yeah, something like that, mm-hmm. You know, and maybe three or four get cut by an outside artist a year.
All right.
So it's a pretty small percentage if you think about it. You
yeah.
know? And, I mean... The thing for me is, got to do it from the heart. You got to. I can teach you how to put, chords and words together. I can't teach you how to spill your heart and soul onto the page.
Right,
and that's what makes it believable.
That's true.
People want to know. It's when you want to write a song that makes somebody pull the car over, call their mom, and download it.
Right.
Right? That takes...
Not have your mom download it, because that's a nightmare
then
trying to get that
out.
Now, wait a minute. What
the
do
whole
I...
thing, right?
RadneyFoster.com. I'm sorry, we're out of time.
No, that's okay,
but,
man. It's good.
Thank
this
you so
quick
much.
Quick hour. That's
it
right.
was good. Yeah. RadneyFoster.com. We're going to be back with a whole lot more. We got Becca Bramlett joining us in just a few minutes. Come on back.